Welcome along to the Rugby Pass podcast. We run now into the final weekend of Super Rugby. Scotty Stevenson with you along with Mark Stafford. Joining us from across the ditch in Australia, it's Sean Maloney from Fox Sports. Shawnee, we've got to start. We've got to start right where it hits you in the baby maker. What a weekend that was for Australian rugby.
Yeah, you know sometimes when you wake up after a massive bender and you just go, did that really happen? Yeah. Well, that was me Sunday morning. And yes, it all happened. I looked at the results. We got pantsed in all five games. First time, Sumo, first time, Saf, since 2005 that each of the Aussie Super Rugby sides lost on the same weekend. That's not the sort of history you want to make a week from the finals.
Shawnee, you know I'm a reasonable man, reason above emotion. And you know that I'm a proud New Zealand man, but I don't want to laugh at you. I've got sympathy for Australian rugby, and there's only one thing worse than a Kiwi laughing at an Australian. That's a Kiwi who feels sorry for an Australian. But your rugby at the moment, mate, has a major crisis on its hands, surely.
Diabolical, weren't they? And never has the contrast in style of play been more evident than that game between the Chiefs and the Reds. The way that the Chiefs, big men, and having looked at that Chiefs starting pack, not all top liners, Sumo, but the way that they can string their passes together and you toss them in with some of those lethal backs, it was carnage. On the flip side, the Reds couldn't muster anything. I mean, it's the same game they're playing. There's nothing different about the game they're playing. Just one side knows how to use a ball a whole lot better than the other. And that was the same trend across the whole weekend.
Shawnee, could I just say, for the benefit of the listeners, we can see you because you're on Skype. You're looking remarkably like Pitbull today, actually.
My hair's heading in that right direction, Staff, isn't it? There's not much of it left. I'll be Pitbull sooner rather than later, there's no question. But speaking of Pitbulls, one man who can keep his head high across the weekend was Michael Hooper, who continues to run himself into the ground. He was good, wasn't he, up against Artie and the gang?
Yeah, I'm just going to throw this out there, though. How on earth does Australian rugby find itself in a position where the most exciting attacking team you have, being the Waratahs, over the last 3 years, where their open side flanker is running for the most metres in the team? There is something absolutely crazy about what is going on with the coaching of the game in that country. And I really mean this sincerely. I worry for the future of Australian rugby, which is competing head-to-head with the AFL and NRL and losing the battle miserably. How do you go about changing it? Because you've got these exciting players, but they're not being involved in the game. Kuran Drani, who was your starting centre for the June Test Series for the Wallabies, didn't have a run against the Blues on Friday night. Didn't have a run.
Remarkable, isn't it? It's what I can't also get my head around, guys, is the way that some of the sides through that June break have progressed. They've improved as a result of that June series. We've all gone backwards. Each of our sides has definitely gone backwards across that period of time, which I don't know how that happens.
Sean, I've always applauded Australia's ability to bounce back from adversity. I've always said that I think they are the smartest rugby country in the world. I think they get tactics right and all that sort of thing. But the adversity in the past has been a cold. Australian rugby looks like it's got the man flu that just will not go away. And I'm like Sumo, I worry for Australian rugby because I'm not seeing the bounce back.
Can I just remind you two jokers who New Zealand played in the final of the World Cup last year?
Yeah, that's the point we're making.
That's when the flu started.
That's the point we're making, Sean. And no one is sitting here crowing. I know you're expecting us to be, and if things were flipped, you would be, but we're not. There's a genuine concern here, and I'll tell you why, Sean, because New Zealand fans, based on this conference structure, have long pointed to the South African teams and said, you guys have the weakest, easiest run into the playoffs possible. But New Zealand teams have won 20 of 24 games against Australian teams. You could argue that the Australasian group is weaker than the South African group.
You could do that. I just want to give you guys some reason for hope for Australian rugby. Can I? May I momentarily?
Please, you can attempt.
I want to take you back to 1998, Staff. I want to take you back to...
That's not a reason for hope.
Just
That's
relax.
History.
Just relax. I want to let you know that it is possible for Super Rugby sides to stammer and splutter and go really poorly through a campaign and for Test rugby not to be reflective of that. 98 was when Australia reclaimed the Bledisloe. What a 3 weeks they were. Winners down there in Christchurch. And that was after New South Wales, Queensland and ACT finished 5th, 6th and 10th. They weren't even in the picture. So I'm just letting you know that it is possible, and that's what I hang on to. We've still got the players. So there's no need to get too worried just yet. Across those five teams, obviously there's some issues in terms of depth and style of play, but we've still got those core group of players. How good was Izzy Folau the other night? You know, like, he'll come back in the Wallaby jersey. It'll be okay. It'll all be okay.
This is what I love about Australians. They've already given up on this competition. You're looking forward to the to the Rugby Championship. I want to hold you there, Sean, because there's another bigger issue, and I want to be serious about this. The Reds sacked their coach after two games this year. The Force have sacked their coach. Leo Crowley, who was assistant coach to Tony McGahn at the Rebels, walked out of the club, citing workplace bullying as the reason. Have you guys got a major coaching issue going on in Australian rugby right now?
Okay, the issue, let's address them one by one. The Reds' issue with their coaching, Richard Graham should never have been appointed for this season. There was talk amongst all the key people, players, those tight with the Reds, that he had a really short time frame to turn the Reds around in 2016. Who puts that caveat on a head coach? I mean, what organisation does that? That sits solely with those who put Richard Graham in at the back end of last year. As for the Force, you know what? They have done, off the back of that year that they had a good run, Sumo 2014, I think it might have been, they went well. They've copped what they deserved. If we're being honest, in terms of the way they played the game, in terms of their recruitment, looking to South Africa, that's an issue, because I see the guys that play over there. I know how much they put in. And they were hobbled in so many ways by a head coach who didn't want to think outside the box, who didn't want to embrace media, who didn't want to grow the game, as it appeared from a distance, in Perth, which hurts so much as a lover of the game and as a broadcaster both. So it's those two. They sit as poorly with me as they do many people on this side as well.
I guess that the point now is that one of your teams is going to host a quarterfinal. It's likely to be the Brumbies, Shawnee, based on the fact they played the Force this weekend. The Waratahs have got a tough assignment at Eden Park. Not impossible for them, but tougher than the Brumbies have got, that's for sure. If the Brumbies get through, or even if the Waratahs get through, what hope now that they are able to win in the first week of the playoffs?
Well, let's look at both those sides and go back to Canberra earlier this year, Brumbies v Crusaders. I mean, the Crusaders got better between then and now. The Brumbies have plateaued, if not dipped a little. So I don't know what hope there is to offer given how well the Crusaders are travelling at the moment. The only thing you can lean on is the fact that it's knockout rugby, and that leads to some people bottling it on occasion, but the way that it's looking now, you would have every last dollar on the Crusaders to roll the Brumbies if that's how it plays out for that first week of the finals.
What about the Waratahs? They win the Blues, the Brumbies somehow manage to manufacture a loss against the Force. What chance would you give them? Because I've long said the Waratahs are probably your best hope. The Brumbies have proved themselves to be one-dimensional. It's got to be the Tars, doesn't it? If you're an Australian rugby fan, you're hoping they're in there.
I don't mind which of the two go through, but I would suggest that the Tars at the current time have probably got more threats across the park and have a style of game that can potentially, and if they get good weather, they can potentially match it with the Crusaders. I mean, look what they did to the Chiefs going back. I know it was a month back, but look what they did to the Chiefs at the SFS. So you would think, you've got to run up big points against these New Zealand sides, and I think New South Wales can do that. On the flip side, the Brumbies' attack's just been sort of stuttering for the moment.
I was talking to Shawnee, and I'm sure he won't mind me quoting him, Jerome Kano, at the awards dinner on Monday night, and I just said, great game against the Brumbies, blah, 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 and he said it didn't feel like they were playing the Brumbies. He said he felt like he was playing in the Northern Hemisphere, and all they did was scrum and kick and just offered nothing, and he kept saying to his teammates, he said, wait, they will click in, and they just didn't, and he was baffled as to what's happened to the Brumbies this season.
It's a straight revert to type. That's the problem, Staff. Like, they kicked off the season with a bang. Admittedly, they were bashing up on other Aussie sides, but they looked good. They were shifting the ball. They were getting it to the fringes. They've been smacked around by injuries to Henry Speight and Joe Tamani, who are both excellent finishers. So that's obviously hobbled them a little bit on that front. But then they regressed. They had all the dramas with the CEO. They said it wasn't affecting them. They went to South Africa, got a win or two over there. They beat the Cheetahs over there. They came home, and then it was just a slow slide back into the mire. I think they lost four or six. And it was doing what Jerome Kane and I just touched on, playing that not negative sort of footy, but not looking to really play an expansive, offload-driven game.
Righto, boys, we leave Australia for the moment and touch on arguably the biggest news of the week, which has been Johan Ackermann's decision to rest 15 of his front line players for the Lions against the Juarez this weekend. This is surely the biggest gamble ever.
Gaff.
A big gamble by a Super Rugby coach. Steph, I want to get your thoughts on this. You've long said the Lions could go through and host the final at Ellis Park. Johan Ackermann has gambled that away.
And he's going to do it in Argentina against an Argentinian side that took a South African scalp very recently, who played pretty well against France, basically the Juarez team against the French. I just cannot believe his players need rest when top dog spot is on the line. If they want to win the Super Rugby competition in its entirety, they have to play at home, a final at home. They are setting themselves up to have to go to New Zealand to play a final where they will not win, and he knows that. I can't believe it.
Shawnee, your thoughts?
Hello.
The smiling assassin, Johan Ackermann. What are you thinking? Honestly, you guys know the stats. You're a stats lover, Sumo. You know how heavily stacked they are in favour of the side that finishes first at the end of the regular season. I think how many years have we been on this for now? Nearly 20 years. I think 18 of the 20 winners have almost finished one or two, but not had to travel overseas to try and get the big trophy. I don't know what he's thinking. If he had taken his full strength side to Jaguare land, where the cheerleaders ride the mascots,
oh, yeah,
I reckon they would have cleaned them up. The Jaguares are in all sorts of strife at the moment. It's nonsensical to me. I've got no idea why.
Oh, look, I can reason it to a point, but then if you've gambled away 70,000 people at altitude at Ellis Park for the sake of resting you guys before the quarterfinals, and by the way, a team that is just playing superb rugby right now, yeah, I'm baffled by this. I've got to be honest. He's either got the biggest balls on a coach in history or he's absolutely lost his mind. One thing's for sure, though, boys, and while we're on the Juarez, let's just touch on their end-of-season festivities. If there is not the biggest case of the meat sweats after their end-of-season party, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Can you imagine? They do it so well, the Argentines, don't they? They just take the most nondescript slabs of meat, they just throw a bit of salt on there, and they go low and slow, Sumo. They go low and slow, and it just tastes so good.
All right. I'm going to wrap this up, boys. Mark Stafford and Sean Maloney with us on the Rugby Pass podcast today. Who tops the table, and who takes the last wildcard spot? Let's start with the last wildcard spot. Is it the Sharks or the Bulls?
For me, it's the Sharks. For me, it's the Sharks.
Reasoning being, Staff?
It's a bit of a lottery, but I just think that they will beat up this weekend. They will just smash and dash.
What about for you, Shawnee? I know you're a big fan of the Blue Bulls' expansive game plan. You think they're a chance of sneaking that last spot?
I sat up till 4 o'clock watching the Blue Bulls take on the Moondogs last week. They were terrible. They took them half an hour in the second half to score a point. There was 30 minutes and no points against the freaking Moondogs, and you're playing them at home. I'm with Staff. I'll go to the Sharks. At least they finished it stronger against the Cheetahs.
What about Francois Brumer, though? You know, it's either Tian Skuurman, who never runs, or Francois Brumer, who never runs. Are the Bulls ever going to have a running first 5'8"?
I think they'll run off the park losing this weekend as well. I think the Cheetahs will get
them. The Cheetahs will get up?
I think the Cheetahs will get them.
Here's another question for you, supplementary question. Do you think the Cheetahs just haven't been batshit crazy enough this year? Is that the problem for the Cheetahs? The craziest team in Super Rugby history haven't been crazy. Someone's prescribed them lithium.
Do you reckon they need to get it looser?
Oh, I reckon they do. That's the, I mean, it's the feature of the Cheetahs' game plan is just being
they do loose well.
Unorthodox. That's what I think anyway, boys. What are you doing, Shawnee? Have you got a meeting going on there?
I'm just trying to get ready for our show, for the other rugby show. I've just walked past your colleague, Andrew Mertens. He's in here nice and early now. I'm looking for a pair of strides to throw on.
Okay, Mo. So I'm glad you're talking.
Well, keep the phone pointing.
That's wonderful. Okay, boys, who tops the competition? Can the Lions get over there, beat the Jaguares, and then all of this blows over for Johan Ackerman? Or will the Chiefs or the Crusaders end up top of the table? Or the Highlanders? Or the Hurricanes?
I know. How good's that? Four New Zealand sides can still finish top if results go their way. I'm going to go with the Crusaders to finish top, boys. I'm going to throw it in there. I think they get past the Canes this week down at Amy Stadium. And then I think the Highlanders, who've got a good record against the Chiefs, I think they beat the Chiefs. I think Crusaders finish top of the table.
Yeah, I think the same two results in New Zealand as well. But I actually think the Lions will still beat the Hawaris. These young guys who will be just getting cake thrown at them from across the other side of the planet, saying they can't do it and Ackerman's mad, I think they will lift and sneak past the Hawaris, and we've probably just wasted 10 minutes.
Sumo, can you do me a favour? Can you just stop staff drinking before you start recording podcasts? They are the words of a man who's coming off a six-day bender that may or may not have included crystal meth.
Sean Maloney, go and do the other rugby show live on Fox Sports. Thanks for your time on the Rugby Pass podcast. Always great to have you. Steph, I'm going to wrap this up with you, though, because I love the way you're thinking about this Lions side. And I think if you want to look at how far a team's progressed, you've got to look at what they've got in reserve. This is a chance for the organisation to prove that under Johan Ackerman, the last two seasons have not been a fluke, and that they have developed players who are willing and able to play an open running offloading game plan.
Yeah, and these guys that are taking the field are the same guys that have life trainings. They've been in camp with them for months and months and months. They know the game plans, they'll know the belief, and they'll have all of their big brothers cheering them on as well. We see time and time again, Sumo, I know it's a different code, but in the NRL, Cronulla last week, who are unbeaten, had to play without all of their State of Origin stars. What did they do? These young guys got their chance and they absolutely pumped the opposition. And I think the Lions are good enough unit, winning ways, all that sort of thing, to find something to get over the top. I think it's a huge reactionary thing that I'm seeing the punters doing, just climbing aboard the Hawaris, who are hot and cold at best.
Yep.
I still think the Lions will hopefully prove all the doubters wrong, because it'll give me a week's extra holiday if they host the final.
100%. Could be the greatest masterstroke from Johan Ackerman in his coaching career. One final thing on the Rugby Pass podcast today, Mark Stafford. We know that the heads of Sanzar met yesterday in Sydney. What would they have been discussing? Would it be, do you think, around the structure of this competition going forward and about how the fans have perceived the conference and group structure of this competition?
I reckon the meeting would have started like this. Welcome, everybody. Who wants to go first? Followed by tea and biscuits.
As much as we've talked about the structure, and on one level it's very simple, and I've defended that structure this year, but there's no doubt that I am pissing into the breeze, because I don't speak for the fans on a broader level. I work with the game, so do you, so we understand innately what's going on. We talk to the coaches, so we know that they are understanding of it. But you can tell that the fans have just slipped out of this bubble. They don't believe in the structure. Whether the structure works or not, they're not buying it. And I think that's a problem for the game.
I think by human nature now, because, and I've had this view for quite a long time, because rugby is the religion in New Zealand and we're very, very good at it. We go looking for problems. And if you go looking for problems in anything, you'll find it. Now, this time next year, no one's going to remember who came fourth and who came sixth, even though sixth won more games than fourth. Ultimately, this competition, the winning team that holds the cup aloft will be the best team in this competition. And that's what this competition is about. Sure, it's unfair a little bit with teams winning more games, not getting home ground and all that sort of thing, but there's so many parts at play here.
Yeah.
The best team will still win Super Rugby, and that's why we're playing it.
I tend to agree with you, mate. And on that note, we'll wrap it up. The Rugby Pass podcast every week on rugbypass.com. Make sure you get your subscription today so you can check out the Super Rugby finals, that last round robin matches this weekend. And there are going to be some absolute crackers.
Oh, buckle up, mate.
Top spot on the line this weekend.